The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And welcome back as hour three. A long time saying in the progressive movements in America was to speak truth to power. There's been no greater example of that than parents taking back control of their education by showing up at school board meetings and state board of education meetings. One such parent, Keisha King, did so about a month ago in Florida, gave one of the most beautiful, perfect speeches you could about America and critical race theory. It drew the attention of the governor, Ron DeSantis, who helped put it viral. I am delighted to have Keisha King with us tonight. Mrs. King, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. I'm great to be here.
Can I, as a first-time guest, ask you what I ask every first-time guest? Tell us a little bit about yourself, a little autobiography, how you grew up and how you came to be doing what you're doing.
Sure. So I'm originally from the South, but my family moved to Connecticut when I was 13, and then I lived a little bit in New York, and that really sort of gave me, I feel like, a well-balanced mindset or a well-balanced worldview.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And so I used to actually sing professionally. I actually got to sing the national anthem at four Trump rallies, so that was an honor.
Oh, my gosh.
But my move into conservatism happened right after the 2016 election. A close family relative, we were having a discussion about Black Lives Matter. And so I was concerned about, you know, all the riots and everything. And I said, well, let me go look up and see how many unarmed Black men have been killed by the police as opposed to crime in Black neighborhoods. And I was astonished by the numbers. It prompted me to keep digging into further sort of common statistics. And I ran across Dr. Thomas Sowell, which was transformational in helping me understand a lot of the historical things in America. And the more transformational thing that happened was I am a woman of faith, and I was just, you know, praying about all these different things, because all of my life I had heard that, you know, being Black, it was basically kind of like a curse. You know, you have to work two times harder, you know, all these white folks are against you, and yada yada yada, on and on. And so, you know, just in prayer about it, and God spoke to my heart, and he told me that my skin color had become an idol in my life. That revelation was utterly transformative. It completely changed everything. It felt like years of an oppressive mindset that just fell away at the revelation of seeing myself through my identity in Christ and not through my skin color. It was, I don't know another word, but it was just divine revelation and such a transformative moment. And it changed everything. And it just prompted me to get more involved in politics because of just things that I had seen in the public school system with my youngest daughter, who's a special needs child. And just also just a lot of things at that time were happening in our country, if you remember back in that 2015, 2016, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just started volunteering with the Jacksonville Young Republicans, became the director of communications on the board, then got an opportunity to work for the RNC, for Black Voices for Trump, and I led that organization here in Jacksonville throughout the Trump campaign for 2020. And, you know, I still stayed involved after the election and heard about this hearing at the Department of Education. You know, I had spoken before school boards and in front of, you know, these school hearings that we had here in Jacksonville because we were having this whole thing about school name changes and all that. And so I really didn't think anything of the speech because it was something similar that I had already said to, like, different school boards.
Mm-hmm.
meetings and things. So when it went viral, it was kind of weird because I'm like, well, I've been saying this, but okay, I'll take it. So that's sort of, in a nutshell, the quick version of a little history about me.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. It's a great history, and maybe the departing point for another interview on larger issues in the future, if you'll come back and treat this as a down payment. I want to talk to you about this speech that you gave, filled with just not only wonderful and concise history, but passion. Let me start where you ended and ask you to fill this out. You said at the conclusion of your speech, "Our ancestors, white, black, and others, hung, bled, and died right alongside each other to push America toward the more perfect union. If CRT continues, we will look back and be responsible for the dismantling of the greatest country in the world by reverting to teaching hate, and that race is a determining factor on where your destiny lies." I agree with every word you said. You said it perfectly, Keisha. On the other hand, don't you feel sometimes like the entire education establishment, including the NEA and the AFT, disagrees with you?
I'm sure they probably do. I'm sure some of them probably think that they're doing the right thing. I'm sure some of them have evil intentions. And unfortunately, I think that is more of the case with a lot of these administrators of people, you know, these school board members and these NEA administrators. It's unfortunate. They do disagree with me. They came right out and said that they are going to push back against all parents and against people who are trying to fight against critical race theory, and they're going to continue to push critical race theory in schools.
They did say that.
Clearly.
Yes. The NEA says that they are fighting efforts to ban critical race theory. The head of the American Federation of Teachers, I guess they need to go outside and get their story straight, because the NEA is saying they're going to try and ban efforts to stop CRT, but the AFT is saying CRT is not taught in our schools. Let them get their story straight. You know darned well it's being taught in the schools.
It absolutely is being taught in schools, and there are countless stories that parents have. There's countless evidence that parents have, students have. This is widespread. It has been happening right under our noses. And, you know, of course, we hate COVID and all of the mess that it's caused, but it has certainly enabled parents to see inside of the classrooms and see exactly what was going on with our little ones. And we are appalled. And I will say that the worst thing that these people could have done was to mess with our kids, because when you, like, we'll take a lot of stuff.
Yep.
But when you start to come after our kids,
yep,
that is a line too far. And we did not co-sign, you know, to co-parent with the NEA, the school board, superintendents, teachers, or anyone that is taking care of, has any effect on our children. This is not a co-parenting agreement.
Right.
This is these are our children, and what we say goes, not the other way around.
You took a before I come to that question, let me run this by you. In our major newspaper, the Arizona Republic, this morning, Keisha, a professor from the University of Texas at Austin, wrote, "It appears that the ultimate goal of the anti-CRT efforts is to prevent any discussion about racism that presents America as less than perfect." Keisha, I've been in history textbook wars. I've written history textbooks. I've been in this movement for a long time. I got to tell you, I don't know anyone in the anti-CRT effort who's trying to prevent discussions about race or wants to see America as less than perfect. In fact, even the conservative history textbooks put slavery right up there in the preface. This is a lie.
Yes. I mean, you really can't hide slavery from America. You can't. I mean, like, how that is absurd. It's just a way to get leftist Democrats, and particularly black folks, black and brown folks, to be outraged with the idea that conservatives just want to be more racist. That has been the Democrat sort of mantra for years, trying to paint conservatives, Republicans, in this way that we're just all racist, which is absurd. Because if you know anything about the Republican Party's history, we're not the racist ones. We never have been, and we never will be. But they have painted that narrative about Republicans. It is a lie. And we do have to do a better job as conservatives to combat that lie. But it's an easy thing to get people to shut up. If you call someone a racist,
you bet.
That's one of the, you know, that's one of the things that nobody wants to be called that. You're literally marked out of, you know, banished from society.
No, that's right. That's right. I almost wonder if its overuse is going to water that down, which would be unfortunate, just as the use of fascist and Nazi has been watered down. And I think that's unfortunate. I got to take a quick commercial break, Keisha. Can you stay just a little longer? I want to go over a few other things in your speech if you have the time.
Sure, yeah.
That would be wonderful. We are talking to Keisha King. I am Seth Leibson. She is the Florida parent who lit up the state of Florida and social media with her speech to the State Board of Education there. God bless her for doing it. You want truth to power. This is it. We'll have more from Keisha King and on critical race theory when we come right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Delighted to have Keisha King with us. She is a Florida mother and activist who is doing her level best to stop critical race theory from further infecting not only her children, but the children in the rest of the state of Florida. Keisha, you made an interesting argument in your presentation that I wanted to ask you a little bit about. I remember well in the Brown versus Board of Education decision that much was made of the psychological effects on black children under notions of separate but equal. You made an interesting side point here in your speech. You said, I don't know about you, but telling my child or any child that they are in a permanent oppressed status in America because they are black is racist. And any saying that white people are automatically above me or my children or any child is racist as well. At bottom, CRT does do this, doesn't it? It does instruct children in a minority status, African American, Hispanic American perhaps, but primarily African American or black, it does tell them that they are inferior and that the rest of the country thinks of them as that, does it not? And what is that psychological effect?
It absolutely does. One of the first tenets of critical race theory is that America is intrinsically racism is ingrained into the fiber, into every single institution, organization, everything. And so the outworking of that idea is that white male, heterosexual, able-bodied, Christian, you know, on and on, are deemed the oppressor and everyone else is oppressed. Well, particularly speaking about black children, if we are telling them that, I don't see how we are expecting them to produce anything but that. Because we all know the more you tell someone something, especially if it's negative, they will hold on to it, and likely that will be the outworking of their life. So we will see a lot of non-white children who carry this mindset of being oppressed. And I don't think we want to live in a society where all of these children who become adults have no hope.
Well, I think I think you're right, and I think it's an ugly thing to do that creates division beyond anything I can imagine, quite frankly, outside of the mid-19th century. When we know from pedagogy, we know that when you tell a child or a pupil what they are, they become. You know, if you tell them they're stupid, they will become stupid. If you tell them that they are oppressed, they will think that they are oppressed. If you tell them the white man wants to oppress them, they will think of all white people this way. The point of prejudice, isn't it, Keisha? Isn't the problem with prejudice is that we take an entire group and make those attributes applicable to an individual. Isn't that really the problem of prejudice? Is we judge one person by an entire arbitrary group they may belong to? And why is that any different in the reverse? Why is this not collective group guilt against every white person in America? It is.
It certainly is. I don't know why this is even a hard thing to see.
Right.
That's why I think people are willfully doing it,
mm-hmm.
because it's obvious. I mean, these are supposed to be educators. And, I mean, we all know, like you just said, if you keep telling a child something, they're going to believe it. So the idea that these teachers or teachers' unions and school board members are telling all of these, and even being an oppressor,
mm-hmm.
even you will create a very guilt.
Yeah, you're putting a lot on the white kids too. You bet.
You're putting a lot. You're right.
You bet.
And it is creating an ugly, deep divide. Like I said in the speech, we're reverting back to a place that we fought so hard to come from.
That's what's so odd. That is what is so, that is what is so baffling to me. Cause I thought we were all on board here generally, with the exception of maybe some weirdos over at the Nation of Islam or something. I thought we were by and large on board generally that separate but equal is not equal. That people are to be judged not by, the color of the skin, but by the fact that they are a human being. Under the laws of nature and God. That's what I thought we came together on. Martin Luther King wasn't great just because he was a great orator. He was great because he gave us something we could all rally around that spoke to the best of America. And now we see corporations as much as schools resegregating us, Keisha. We're separating by race all over again, as if we didn't go through the 1960s or the 1860s.
It's a shame, you know, and when I went to speak at some of these school meetings, these children already carry a hate as if they're growing up in 1935
yeah.
or 40 or 50. They are so angry because the adults have put this idea into their heads that they are somehow living in the Jim Crow South. The antebellum South. I mean, these children are not oppressed. My children are certainly not oppressed, you know, and it's a shame. And what we need to get back in school or maybe need to focus more on is paying attention to countries that really do have oppression so these children can see what real oppression looks like. Real oppression is not you not getting your favorite iPhone that you wanted to get. That is not oppression. Real oppression is not knowing where your next meal will be and knowing that there is no government that will come to save you like you have in America. There is no Social Security safety net. There is no welfare or anything, even if you are, you know, a person that is struggling to get it together. They don't have that in other countries. I think a lot of these people need to go and see what real oppression looks like. And I think that's missing.
I quite agree. I think of the National Basketball Association, which justifies continually doing business with a country that engages in slave labor, why it allows and makes popular the notion that we shouldn't stand for our national anthem because we actually got rid of slavery over 150 years ago. This is the kind of idiocy we're dealing with, isn't it, Keisha?
Right. And it's laughable. I mean, you have people like Oprah Winfrey
yeah.
saying that a homeless white guy's whiteness gives them a better shot at life
yeah.
than her.
I mean,
it's just absurd. It's ridiculous at this point. I can't take some of these people seriously.
No, I know. It's a hell of a racist country where you grow up wearing a barrel and end up being a billionaire. When your name is Oprah, right?
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that amazing? Keisha,
yeah.
you're wonderful. You're amazing. As I said, I hope this can be a down payment and I can call on you again. May your voice and strength continue to grow. I really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you so much. And I would love to come back anytime.
Love to have you. Keisha King, God bless you. Thank you very much.
God bless you.
Thank you. I'm Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back.